5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You're looking good, Colbs. You've got the whole show shirt on. I've got my whole show shirt on. It's a great day.
It's a great Wednesday.
It looks good. Looks good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got a few of those now.
I do. I've had them for a while, but.
You know, they don't wear out. That's the beautiful thing. We've been doing the show just like this show. It doesn't wear out.
Never.
I mean, we have content like crazy coming up. We're going to get Coach McCaffrey on the program. We broke a record this week, Colfax. Once we get Coach McCaffrey on, the whole show has officially broken a record. Do you want to know what that is?
Yes, I would like to know what that is.
the record for most McCaffreys in a week on the whole show. We will break the record.
Because I'll be on any show, actually.
I would put us up on that, yeah, for sure. I would imagine we are definitely holding the record. That'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Radio show with the most McCaffreys on in 1 week.
In a week.
I mean,
here it is.
Growing up, if you would have said, hey, Brady, you're going to have McCaffreys on a radio show someday, I would have told you you're crazy. But man, he was at the coach's show last night, Coach Ed McCaffrey at the Go. If you guys haven't been down there yet, it's a different environment. You've been to an old coach's show, right, Colbs? You've been to one with Ernest Collins Jr., right?
Yes.
Nobody really came out. That's just the way it is. And it's not, I mean, listen, I don't know if it would have been the case for even if he was winning. I just don't know. But I've been to CSU coaches' shows. Back in the Bobo days when Bobo was pretty good, was winning 7 games a season, I've been to those coaches' shows, and in between segments, you hear, woo, clapping. They're like cheering them on. It's crazy. I was like, this is a unique concept, you know, just kind of cheering them on a radio show. I mean, why the hell don't we have that? Why don't we have people cheering us on? You know, are you in your cars cheering us on in between segments? You think Hooligans do that? Anyway, I thought it was a weird concept. The last couple of shows. So Darren Delacroix is out there, too. The tight end that caught a touchdown pass from Connor Martin against Houston Baptist. And his family's out there. It was cool. Place is packed. And Jerry Schimmel does the introduction, and they go nuts. The entire bar, restaurant area goes crazy. It's it was really cool. It was really cool. And so I think that is the environment that we're in. I really hope it's a big time show up for Bears fans coming up on Saturday, because it's really a special environment, a special type season. And I think we need to grasp it, you know, like really enjoy. If you're a sports fan at all, you really need to enjoy what's happening here in our own backyard. It's a pretty special environment. Delacroix is talking, crowd goes nuts. And McCaffrey comes in. It's just weird. He just walks in, you know, stands there and waits for Darren to get done with this segment. Just kind of hanging out. Everybody's like, oh, there's Ed McCaffrey. Whoa, it's cool. And he just goes and sits down, gets his hot tea, and it's awesome. He's signing the posters. People are coming up. He's signing posters. I may or may not have had my intern sneak over there to get it. He wanted a signed poster. And he joking, he's like, do you want one? I was like, yeah. No. Here, grab one, just in case. My intern's like, I screwed up. I froze. I froze in the moment. He asked if I should make it out to somebody, and I froze, and I just said, no, whatever you want to do. I said, well, you're never going to get that chance again, man, except for maybe next week when you come out to the coach's show. It's a fun environment. Hooligans, you need to come out there. It's great. It's a great time. Well, you might not be able to get a seat. It literally, Colfax, I'm not, I can't stress this enough. It was full. And as soon as the show's over, it empties out a little bit. Special place. Cool deal. First Advantage text line. Hit us up today. It's always exciting on that text line to roll with us. You know, the Hooligans go a little crazy from time to time, but, you know, We make do. We deal with it. We deal with it the best of our ability. But our brand new text line, First Advantage text line, is 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. And if you're new to the show, get a nickname, get in the subscription category. Just text KFKA to that number, and we'll get you cooking. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is up. Who's the best quarterback, the college quarterback, in the area right now? Right now. Dylan McCaffrey, CU's Brendan Lewis, or CSU's Todd Senteo? Who's the best quarterback right now? Well, Brady, we got to see more games out of it. Stop it. Stop it. You got to answer the question right now. Is it Dylan? We haven't seen a whole lot. It's probably Dylan McCaffrey. I mean, think about that. Just based on really what we saw against CU, Dylan didn't have a crazy game against Houston Baptist, and then, of course, didn't play the second half. Hurt his shoulder. Doesn't seem serious. So, it's hard for me not to go Dylan. He moved the ball against, I think, what's going to turn out to be a really good defense in the Pac-12. So I'm kind of shocked here. Look at the results. Todd Senteo, Dylan McCaffrey, or CU's Brendan Lewis. 46% of the Hooligans say Brendan Lewis. 33% say Dylan McCaffrey. 20% say Todd Senteo. Is that because Brendan, he wasn't bad against Texas A&M, but he wasn't necessarily good. He wasn't necessarily good against UNC. I think Brendan's going to be a pretty solid quarterback. As he just needs a couple of wins. He needs a couple of touchdowns. Obviously had some touchdowns against the Bears, but he needs a few wins. I think confidence is going to be a big thing for him. So go vote. That's at thewholeshow.com. Brendan Lewis, Dylan McCaffrey, or Todd Senteo. That's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Colfax, we got to get to our big story. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. All right, so this was a big... There was two guys on the roster for the Nuggets that we were wondering, all right, are they going to get a new deal? Are they going to play with just one year left on their contract? Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. Well, the Nuggets reported yesterday, or reports all over the place now, Aaron Gordon has signed a four-year, $92 million contract extension that will keep him in Denver at least through the 2024-2025 season, a league source told the Denver Post. The deal includes a player option for the 2025-26 season. He was set to become a free agent after next year. That's a gamble. I loved what we saw from him in the regular season with Jamal Murray. It was like, holy cow. You know, obviously traded Gary Harris away to get him, and it turned out to be an amazing move in the regular season. He faded, kind of, throughout the playoffs, especially in that final series against Phoenix. The reason I say this is a gamble is because of that. Could you have let him go in the season and then signed him? The reason it's a gamble one way or the other is all right, if you could have been a gamble not to sign him. Because if he goes on and tears it up and has a fantastic year, well, price went up. And you still have Michael Porter Jr. to think about. I'm excited about the move. I really, really want to see how he does in a full season. Unfortunately, we will not get to see that with Jamal Murray until around March. Both sides were definitely interested from the get-go, and they were ready to get this thing done. So what do you think about that? That should be another poll question we'll probably do at some point. I'm kind of with you, Dixon. I'm with you. He just texts, Brady, why does it feel like I should be more excited about the Gordon signing, but I'm not? Dude doesn't shoot very well. I'm kind of with you. You know, right when they got him, I'm thinking, oh, this is a good move. And he was put in a weird spot because he's going from the guy to one of the guys, to a guy that's supposed to really just make Nikola Jokic better. I'm kind of with you on that, Dixon. I don't feel particularly excited. I kind of wanted to see how he did this year before Denver said, all right, well, you're our guy. You're our power forward going forward for the next 4 years. I'm okay with it. But I'm not by any means saying, oh, there we go. Locked him up. We are locking this window up. We just opened up our window a little tighter to win a championship. It's an okay move. Still kind of, again, the Nuggets are banking on him tearing it up this year, and they've got him locked up. That way, hey, the price doesn't go up. Or he doesn't feel the love and goes somewhere else. He's a fine player. Need to see more, though. I get why they signed him. It's, you know, it is what it is. I'm neither mad or pumped necessarily. It's just a Nuggets team that looked at it and said, well, we signed this guy, lock him in just in case. If he goes out and tears it up, we don't want to have to pay more, because the bottom line, they have another big deal coming up, man. They have to think about what's next with Michael Porter Jr., and that is going to be, that's going to be the interesting gamble. I think Nuggets Nation is 50-50 on MPJ. The 50-50, you know, one side going, yeah, this guy is going to be the next big thing. He's going to be a star. He's going to be one of the big stars for Denver, one of the big stars in the league. Or he's going to be, I don't know, J.R. Smith. Good shooter. That's about it. Would you sign him? Would you sign MPJ today? He's going to be a free agent at the end of next season. Would you sign him? He's going to be not a max, pretty big contract. You know, kind of like probably larger than what you're seeing with Aaron Gordon's contract. And that means that's it. You know, everybody else is going to be just a role player on your team, because you got Jamal's big contract. You're going to sign Nikola Jokic's big MVP max contract. That's going to get done. Aaron Gordon, there's going to have to be room for MPJ, but you know, you're going to be top heavy, which is what most teams that are playoff teams are. So do you like it? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. Would rather have Grant. Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, they offered him the same thing Detroit did, though, and for personal reasons, he wanted to go to Detroit. They gave him more money than they offered Grant, and Grant had more offensive game. Yeah, but again, they offered him the same amount that Toronto did last year, so I don't know if it's the money thing. Maybe they learned their lesson with this and said, we need to give him more money so that he'll take this thing and not leave. I like Gordon defensively better, inside better, but obviously Grant can shoot. Yes, he's got a better offensive game. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about this one a little bit more. This is a big move for the Nuggets. Either way you slice it, are you cool with it? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, our game beer of the week. My favorite, had one last night at the coach's show. It's a Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Pick it up at On the Rocks Liquor. They do a game beer of the week every single week, and you can get a discount price. Tell them you heard about them right here on the whole show. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who's the better quarterback, the better college quarterback in the area at this point? Brendan Lewis, Dylan McCaffrey, or Todd Senteo? Go vote at theholeshow.com. Brendan Lewis getting the majority of the votes at this stage, and I say it's Dylan McCaffrey. I thought Dylan looked, dare I say this, I thought Dylan looked like the better quarterback. He was the better quarterback in that game, that first game of the season for the Bears against CU. I felt that way anyway. I know the game plan was not to give everything to the Bears because they had Texas A&M the following weekend. I get that. But if, you know, if I'm a Buffs fan today, I'm definitely excited about the defense. I think that defense is going to be one of the tops in the Pac-12. Be a little concerned about the offense, just a little, not panicking or anything like that. But you know, you want to see Jerick Broussard and Alex Fontenot. You want to see those guys light it up. And again, two weeks in, we're always worried. We're always skeptical. That's why, you know, the first couple of weeks in the NFL, first week in the NFL, it's always like the overreaction week. You know, teams that win are going to the Super Bowl. Teams that lose aren't going to win a game. That's usually how it goes. Boy, that AFC West, though. That's going to be tough. I mean, the Raiders, I'll tell you, I got to see the Raiders do it for a few weeks. Because they had all of the excitement, you know, in your city, Colfax, and in Las Vegas. I mean, it was nuts. That was a great move. I mean, I know Oakland fans are upset with that, but that, I mean, as far as a franchise and a business decision, having a football team in Las Vegas, why in the hell did it take so long? Why did it take a hockey team showing you that, you know, a fan base can really rock out in Las Vegas? And the Raiders just fit, don't they? They just fit Vegas. Sin City, Gruden, the Raiders. The only thing that doesn't fit the Raiders is Derek Carr. I mean, he fits them, just his attitude, his persona doesn't really work. But all four teams in the West, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders, 1-0. Chiefs are interesting. They do their thing. They still do the comeback thing. I mean, when does that wear out? I guess when Patrick Mahomes retires. The Browns were, I mean, the Chiefs were not ahead in the against the Browns until the final play, pretty much, until the game was over. Found a way to get it done. I think the Browns will be tough. I still think the Ravens will be tough, too. You know, just talking about kind of a week one recap. I think the Ravens, obviously, with so many running backs hurt, you know, that's a concern. But I still think they're going to be good. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. Jaguars, Urban Meyer, no chance of leaving Jacksonville to coach USC. So he's like, all the coaches talk to the media, like visiting coaches talk to the media, not visiting because I guess Denver's going to Jacksonville. But they also do like a day where they're talking to the other team's media, essentially. Urban Meyer didn't do it. I saw Kliss share it on Twitter and basically said this is disgraceful that Urban Meyer didn't do this. His, like, PR person, I was looking at it, came on and she said, that was my call. Half the teams in the league don't do that anymore. I mean, everything that I've listened to has certainly said that he's, like, one of the first guys not to do it. But Urban Meyer maybe doesn't want to talk about what's going to be asked. Hey, you going to go to USC? USC let go of head coach Clay Helton on Monday, just two games into the 2021 season. And the school says they're looking for a change in leadership. Urban Meyer is an amazing college football coach. And, I mean, right now it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Jacksonville. There's a lot of work to be done. But he said, no, I'm absolutely, there's no chance. I'm committed to here and building an organization. Yeah. Sometimes you hear things like that and money talks. 28 minutes after the hour, we're going to jump out a little bit earlier. We're going to get UNC Bears head football coach Ed McCaffrey on the show. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Thank you. 33 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Bears head football coach, Coach Ed McCaffrey. Coach, always love getting you on the show. Congratulations on the win. Your first win as a college head football coach. Congrats.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Were you expecting the Gatorade bath? I mean, that was kind of, that was crazy. That was intense.
No, I usually reserve that for Super Bowls. I wasn't expecting it. They got me pretty good. I was running on the field, so they must have done a good job of carrying that thing on the move.
I mean, that's a heck of a workout, right? Just carrying that thing around and lifting it up, getting all over you. I mean, what a moment, though, and what a great moment. Again, I was talking about the coaches show last night, Coach. There is just an energy surrounding this community, and you feel it at the coaches show. You feel it at those games, and I'm sure we're going to feel it this upcoming Saturday against Lamar.
Yeah, you know, we responded well after week one, and now we got a big win. We have to respond well after a win after week two. And, you know, it all happens during the week, the preparation, taking care of your body, getting ready to go. All that happens so that you can just go out, pin your ears back, and play ball on game day. But we're hoping to give our fans something to cheer about. I know that there's some wonderful fans, wonderful alumni, great student body and faculty, and there is a lot of excitement around our football program. So if you weren't thinking about it, start thinking about it. Come on out to the game and cheer on the team and have some fun.
Yeah, no question about it. Coach, what can you tell us? I know Dylan on the quarterback side got a little banged up in that first half against Houston Baptist, didn't play in the second half. What's that status look like? Is he going to be a go this weekend?
Yeah, he's cleared to play this weekend. Okay. He was a little sore after the CU game. He hadn't played in 4 years, four quarters of football. So he's a little bit sore, and then he took that really wicked illegal hit out of bounds. And he came up a little sore, and I'm like, you know what, you know, we've got a significant lead. I really trust Connor. It was getting a little chippy out there with some of the hits, and I'm like, you know, we're good to go. Let's just get you healthy for next week and take the second half off, let Connor go to town, and Connor did a great job, and the team played really well in the second. So, you know, Dylan, he doesn't have anything to prove, and there's no need to risk injury with him or any of our players on the field. There was a couple other players that kind of took out of the game at one point because, you know, we were winning and gave a lot of other guys a chance to play. And I really think as a head coach, you need depth. You really do. I mean, you need guys with experience and reps. And so one of the things I was really excited about is a lot of different players got in this game and got some real game experience.
Well, and how much of a luxury is that too, Coach, when you can say, hey, we're up big, it's getting chippy, it's getting a little nasty out there, let's take our number one QB out, and Connor Martin comes right in, throws a nice touchdown pass. That's a luxury going forward, and it's nice to see that early so you know you have that in your back pocket.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've said this before, but we have the greatest quarterback room I've ever seen in terms of just everyone's mutual respect for each other and their character and their intelligence. Our quarterback room is phenomenal. And from Dylan and Connor right on down the line, we're really talented, but also just great guys. I mean, great guys that compete against each other but root for each other. It's really a pleasure to coach those guys. And we have faith in all of them. I mean, Dylan's come in and saw what he did week one against CU in a pretty hostile environment. Connor comes in this past week and shows that, you know, we don't drop off at all. He's a player. He can make plays. The pass to Darren Delacroix was just phenomenal. He put it where only Darren could catch it. The DB tried to undercut it and missed, and then Darren went down the sideline for the big touchdown. But I've been coaching Connor for 2 years, and I've been coaching Dylan my whole life, and those are two guys I have a ton of confidence in.
We're talking to UNC Bears head football coach, Coach Ed McCaffrey. Coach, what was the biggest difference? Obviously, CU, Houston Baptist, completely different opponents, but biggest difference that you saw, because everything seemed to be clicking for you against Houston Baptist. Is that just time, getting everybody together, getting everybody on the right page going forward?
Yeah, well, I think the big difference is, you know, CU is a big FBS school with everyone on their team at 100% scholarship and in a huge stadium with a loud crowd. And you know, so it's the obvious difference. I think we had some individual battles we won against CU. I was so happy to see some of our talented players win the battles against the big FBS school down the street. But as a team, it's hard to compete offense, defense, special teams as a team against a team that's loaded with talent like CU. And we fought them tooth and nail. I was so happy at our effort and our attitude. It didn't end the way we wanted, and we left some plays on the field, right? And we know that. But we also made some plays and won some individual battles. But they're incredibly physically gifted and talented. And I think physically, player for player in all three phases, we matched up a little better against Houston Baptist and I think that showed.
Coach, I didn't get a chance to talk to you on air after the Buffs game, but what was that like? You know, you were hired, it seems like a while ago, because we were so excited, all the news, and then obviously COVID and the spring ball situation, opting out there. What was that like to see your captains go out to the field, running out with your team, and like you said, a pretty crazy crowd there in Boulder?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It felt like another football game. I mean, I guess I've been playing or coaching my whole life, and it was just another football game. I mean, it was one we prepared for, and we thought we were ready for, and we were. I mean, we played them even football for about 2.5 quarters, but they wore on us a little bit, and, you know, we missed a couple opportunities, and that's the difference in the game. But it just felt like another football game. Look, I guess I'm blessed to have played in 3 Super Bowls, so, you know, compared to that, it wasn't exactly the same buildup. But it was fun. I was excited for our players because they don't, I mean, at our level, we don't get a chance to play in front of those types of crowds every week. So it was really, really fun to watch. It was fun to coach. I'm never happy when the result isn't what we were hoping for. But I was proud of the young men in our program, their effort, their attitude, and I'm glad they had that experience.
I think you guys earned a lot of believers, Coach, because we've talked about the preseason rankings, the very disrespectful spread, all of that stuff going into it. I think a lot of you guys went right out at the beginning and punched the Buffs in the mouth, and this is a Buffs team, and I'm sure you saw the score. I mean, they went right up toe-to-toe against a top five. Now they're 7 in the nation in Texas A&M, so I know that's not lost on you guys. You went out, and I think you made a bunch of people believers a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, offensively, I mean, relatively speaking, once you've seen them play another game, relatively speaking, I thought we moved the ball really well. We moved up and down the field, crossed the 56 times. The other 2 times we didn't, we had a penalty that really we beat ourselves. And I think that was the story of that game. Self-inflicted wounds, not scoring in the red zone, you know, a couple penalties set us back. And then defensively, we started out on fire, and then, you know, you get a penalty on a 3rd and 20, keeps a drive alive. You look back at the game, 5 or 6 plays were really, we beat ourselves, kind of cost us the game, and the score got away from us at the end. But it was a pretty close ball game there for, again, 2.5 quarters, and without a couple of mistakes on our part. I mean, I'm giving them all the credit in the world. They're incredibly talented and well-coached, but we had some self-inflicted wounds that changed that game. I felt like we started so much faster in this last game. We finished drives. And we played well on both sides of the ball. We did have that lull in the second quarter, which was concerning to me. But then we picked it right back up in the second half.
Well, and it was nice, obviously, to see you guys go up against Houston Baptist. And basically, you know, in all facets of the game, it seemed to be clicking. We talked to David Hogue yesterday. Man, he was all over the field. And it just feels like this defense, there's a, I don't want to, like, a nastiness about him. I mean, that defensive front against CU, you guys look really strong on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I thought our coordinator, Scott Darnell, called a great game, and it was even better executed. Our players worked really hard all week long. They worked, they prepared, they watched film, they studied Houston Baptist's offense, and they have some pretty good players on their offense, but they show up to the game because they're so well prepared with their ears pinned back, ready to play. And that's when football's fun, when you're not thinking out there, you're reacting, you know what to expect, and you just go, you know, leave it on the field. And that's the type of attitude our defense has. And I love that they play well together. They're so excited for each other to make plays. And you mentioned David Hogue. I mean, he's one of the nicest young men you'll ever meet. He's done everything we've ever asked him to do, switching positions, moving back and forth. And every day he's just like, "What you tell me what I can do to help the team, coach. I'll do whatever you ask me to do." And so I was really excited for him.
Yeah, it was awesome for him to get that award to Big Sky Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Now you guys shift the focus to a Lamar team that they played 1 game. They lost to UTSA 54-0. You know, what stands out to you? I mean, when you have film to go over that kind of game, obviously it was rough for Lamar. What are those things that you've picked out already? I know it's Wednesday, but that really stand out about this team?
Well, I think UTSA is a hell of a football team.
Right.
Man, they got some dudes on both sides of the ball. It's tough because they absolutely dominated their week 1 game. I mean, they dominated, right? They looked like world beaters. And then week 2, the card was flipped on them, and they got beat pretty good by a really good team, though. And so you look at both films, you're like, okay, they're world beaters in 1 game. It didn't go the way they wanted. In the next game, you know, what team will show up here? I'm guessing somewhere closer to week 1. That's the type of team we expect to see. They're going to play well. They have talent. They have great speed. And they're really well coached by Coach Morgan. So It's going to be a tough contest for us. It's a home game, so it's in our backyard, and we want to make sure that, you know, we take care of our business. Forget the scoreboard for now. We just want to play up to our ability. You know, no self-inflicted wounds, alignment, assignment, technique, go out and play football.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I know fans are looking forward to it. Coach, one more. I had Dylan on yesterday. I had to ask him about the wolf thing, listening to the wolves cry before the games. I mean, were you aware of that? And is that something that you did when you played?
No, I didn't listen to any wolf.
I think it's awesome, man. He's into it. It's a cool thing. He says it calms him down. But, I figured, you know, some kind of music or something. He's like, you know, music just doesn't mellow me out before a game.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. So when he was a little kid, we watched a scary movie. And I said, hey, you know, this is kind of scary. Do you want to watch it? I was really, really bad parenting. Lisa wasn't at the house. And I go, hey, and it was American Werewolf in London. Mm. And he's like, sure, I'm fine with it. But he's like 8 or 9 or something. And then, 10 minutes in, he's like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm like, all right, my bad. Oops, I just scarred my kids. So maybe it has something to do with that. Now, you know, he's like flipping the page, facing his fears or something. I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah, we live in Colorado, so we hear coyotes all the time. It's kind of like a wolf.
I had to give him crap about it. I think it's cool. But there it is. I think you're exactly right. I think it started when he was 8 with that movie. That's probably where this whole thing stemmed from.
Yeah, my fault. I apologize.
Coach, we appreciate you, man. It's an exciting environment around this football program. And, hey, let's go start season 2-1. We'll be rooting for you Saturday.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. That's UNC football coach Ed McCaffrey. And, you know, he's got this even-keeled thing, doesn't he? And I think that the Super Bowls and all that about the Broncos, he's not a guy that really likes to talk about it a whole heck of a lot, but you can tell that that experience, winning 3 Super Bowls, 2 of those with the Broncos, certainly keeps him, you know, not necessarily, the moment's never too big. He did look calm as hell running out there. That's you. I was nervous, dude. I'm like, there's Ed McCaffrey. This is the new era starting for the Bears, and there's Ed running out with this team. And I believe him when he says it, you know. And Carl Durrell's a guy like that, too. Carl Durrell was a wide receiver coach for McCaffrey, so it makes sense. But, you know, just kind of an even-keeled guy. Cool stuff there. All right, 12:46 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's wrap up hour number one. We will switch gears. We are going to talk about the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark Johnson, get his thoughts on all things CU Texas A&M. Now they turn the page. They look forward to taking on a tough Minnesota team. Also, Levante Chenault, what's the situation there for the Buffs? We'll talk to Mark at the top of the hour. Also, Jesse Kurtz, all things Mountain West. We'll get to all that and more on today's edition of The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Catch The Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Power to Play Sports poll question of the day available at thewholeshow.com. Currently, who's the best college quarterback between Brendan Lewis for the Buffs, Dylan McCaffrey for the Bears, or Todd Senteo for the Rams? And looks like the majority's going with Brendan Lewis. And I, you know what? Hard to blame you. Pac-12 versus the rest. But I'm leaning a little bit to Dylan McCaffrey on that. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. The big news of the day was, of course, that the Nuggets got their guy, or at least re-signed Aaron Gordon. That was not really a concern going forward, but they got him locked up for 4 years. Pretty sweet deal for him. Nice contract extension, 4-year deal, $92 million contract extension that will keep him in Denver through the 24-25 season. So it's a good move. It's a good move. It's just, it's not one where I was thinking, okay, that deal needs to get done. I'm thinking the Porter move is going to be the one we... I'm in the camp that says you gotta lock him up. I think that Porter will become that guy. He becomes a free agent after this season. He's making $5 million now. So what do you think? I mean, is he a... If Murray's a $30 million a guy, $30 million a year guy, well, 2021, he's 30 at 31. 2022, he's at 34. Then his next 2 years are at 36 and 38. If Jamal's that guy, and he was better when they signed him to the long-term deal than where Porter is right now, I think, right? Maybe not. Porter's ahead of where Murray was, as far as like when he really got his full year of playing time. Porter was better than Murray. Murray took, 2 years to kind of get in the swing of things. Porter was a good player. He's not great, but he's a good... He went from a guy that could score, kind of, could shoot, couldn't play any defense, not great with a lot of other things outside of shooting, to a guy that, you know, shot better, became known as a shooter, better defense. So he became a good player. Obviously, next year, and then in the playoffs, he kind of disappeared. So that will be the next step for him, is to do it in the big games, do it in the big moments when they're guarding you, when they're doubling you, when they're playing up tight on you. So are you taking a chance on Michael Porter Jr.? Knowing the contract's probably going to be in the 20s, I would imagine. You know, you look at Aaron Gordon's contract and what that's ultimately going to look like. It's going to be more than that. So are you comfortable signing him to a long-term deal? I think that you have to. Gordon's going to be at... What's that average out to, Colfax? $92 million for 4 years? Is it like 20, 21, 22 or something like that? So Porter's going to be well over that. You're going to go in the high 20s. And if you do, again, you do that, that's it. You know, you got Joker, who's going to be at the end of the 2023 season, 2022-23 season. He's going to be way up there. The max contract, the highest, among the highest, the best paid in the league. Murray's sitting in his 30s. Now you got Gordon's at 23. It does, you start to look at it and say, all right, well, then you're going to have a lot of players that are getting paid $3 to $4 to $5 million. You know, that are not, I mean, the depth will take the hit when you front load your bench like this, or your roster like this. Not necessarily arguing it, because when it comes to the playoffs, you're typically only playing, you know, a lot of teams can get by going 7-8. You know, they don't go too far into their bench. So the Nuggets are certainly investing in their starters. You know, you look at the reserves and guys like, Monte Morris is being paid, what, $8 million now? $9 million? Yeah, with his deal he signed. That takes hold this year. He'll be the highest paid among the bench guys. They do have guys locked up, you know, that will be important for them. Zeke Nagy, obviously, rookie last year, he'll be locked up for a few years anyway on his rookie contract. You know, you're going to have a decision to make about Facu Campazzo at the end of next season. I mean, the end of next season, there's going to be decisions to be made. Because you'll have Campazzo up to be a free agent. Bol Bol, what's ever going to happen with that experiment? You got Austin Rivers. So we'll find out, I suppose, how much the Nuggets really value Michael Porter Jr. Is he worth $27, $28, $29 million a year? And are you taking that shot? Because if you do that, you're kind of mortgaging your future. That contract is, you know, if he's lousy and doesn't live up to that contract, you're not going to be able to trade him. People aren't going to take that kind of contract on for a J.R. Smith. I would imagine he would get paid by somebody that amount of money. Someone's going to take that chance because you're that desperate for a superstar. So someone will take that chance. Will it be the Nuggets? Would you? A lot of good poll questions today. We're sticking with the quarterback one, though. Who's the best quarterback in the area as far as college quarterbacks? Brendan Lewis, Dylan McCaffrey, or Todd Senteo? I'm saying Dylan McCaffrey at this stage. But most of the hooligans going the other way. They're saying Brendan Lewis for the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:57 the time. We're talking Buffs next with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.